Welcome to All Steelers Talk, your home for everything Pittsburgh Steelers, presented by AllSteelers.com. Steelers Nation, it is Thursday. We have five new signings here in the city of Pittsburgh. Mitchell Trubisky made his way from the windy city of Chicago to the colder city of Buffalo, to the river of, or the city of rivers, I guess, in Pittsburgh. We got James Daniels coming down from the Windy City to lead the pack of the new and growing offensive line. Mason Cole coming down saying he would love to play center for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but he'll play wherever he needs to play. Levi Wallace coming in here to join Akello Witherspoon and Cam Sutton in what could be the Steelers' best secondary in years. And topped it all off with Miles Jack joining the inside linebacker group, helping Devin Bush, giving the Steelers defense much needed hope. It is a wonderful, wonderful day here in the city of Pittsburgh. Donnie, Steelers got some new players. How you feeling, my friend?
Yeah, I think this podcast definitely carries a different tone than the episode that we did on Tuesday, because Tuesday, we made it sound like they weren't going to do anything, like the apocalypse was coming, essentially. As fate would have it, probably not even an hour after we got done recording, just a slew of moves coming from the Steelers organization. So it serves us right, I suppose, for doubting the people in the front office. There's a bunch of new faces. And, you know, what's funny is that you texted me prior to the start of the episode and you said, have you calmed down on the Mitchell Trubisky signing? I've gotten a couple nights of sleep on it, Noah. I've eaten a lot of good food in between that time. Even had a milkshake between now and then.
I had a milkshake last night.
I think I'm cool. I think I have accepted the fact that Trubisky is going to be the guy heading into next year. Whether or not the Steelers are still going to go out and get another quarterback, whether that be through the NFL draft or whatever avenue they want to take, still kind of up for debate. I feel like they're almost satisfied with Trubisky and Rudolph and Haskins moving forward. Shout out to Nick Mitchburg. I had it coming, I guess. But Trubisky talked to the media today for the first time since joining the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm pretty sure the ink is still pretty wet on the contract that he had signed. Took all the nice pictures for the organization. Noah, you were one of many, many Steelers media in the call with him or in person. I don't know how Yins do it up there in Pittsburgh, but we are still virtual when it comes to the Cardinals signings. Trubisky, first taste, first impression, he talked a lot, you know, whether it be replacing Ben Roethlisberger heading into next year, talked about, you know, him actually reaching out to a bunch of people, you know, his friends and his family, and even former players of the Steelers to see if the Steelers would actually be a good fit. What did you take away?
I honestly didn't take away a lot. I think that's the biggest takeaway from the Mitch Trubisky thing is, for one, it is Mitch. It is not Mitchell. It is Mitch. We've asked. Two, I didn't get to pitch Steelbitsky, but we're going to get there when we do have it in person because it was virtual, but it's all right. Three, he's the only dude to show up in a suit. Everybody else was wearing t-shirts, and he was just like, I'm going to look real good, which gives me one thing, one thought here. Mitchell Trubisky showed up at UPMC Rooney Sports Complex today thinking that he is the starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Because you do not show up looking that well-dressed, thinking, I'm just coming in here to compete for the starting job. At no point did he say that the Steelers told him he was going to be the starting quarterback. Actually, he said that they didn't even need to pitch him. Once they said that they were interested, he said he wanted to go there. Maybe he just looked at it as an opportunity. Maybe he sees what the rest of us see in Mason Rudolph, and that's pretty much nothing. But my biggest takeaway from today was that Mitch Trubisky, 100% believes, even if he won't say it out loud, that he is the starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I think that the Steelers have somewhat given him that influence.
I think, at least in the public eye or, you know, the court of public opinion, the Steelers are very wise to kind of enter the offseason and, you know, OTAs and training camp with the idea that it is going to be an open competition, and it should be. You know, mm-hmm. If Mason Rudolph skyrockets his talent and Mason Rudolph looks like the second round pick that he was, and he looks better than Mitchell Trubisky, I feel like you got to play the best guy. Now, obviously, it's probably not going to happen. Mitch Trubisky came here to Pittsburgh for a reason. And like you said, I think it might be, I guess the right word would be refreshing to see a guy where, you know, it's so easy to show up in sweatpants and a t-shirt, take a couple pictures, sign a contract, call it a day. This man pulled up in a suit. I think Mitch understands that this is a new opportunity for him. You know, he got booted out of Chicago, you know, was the number two overall pick, did not perform up to standards nor expectations with the Bears, took a year, sat behind Josh Allen and the very, very well-respected Buffalo Bills organization and coaching staff, kind of got his stuff together, said, okay, you know what? I took my year off. I sat behind some great people. I learned a whole lot of things. I'm ready. I'm still young, so I have a lot to offer. Give me an opportunity to compete. And, you know, it seemed like it was a very, very mutual interest between the Steelers and Trubisky to make this deal happen.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that the Steelers, I mean, I've been pushing this for a long time. The Pittsburgh Steelers' best option this season is Mitchell Trubisky. I think they knew that for a long time. I don't think the whole splash thing, like people are still talking, oh, Malik Willis makes the most sense for them at 20. I don't know. I don't understand where it's coming from. Well, I'm just looking at it like Mitchell Trubisky makes the most sense for them. And now they're doing exactly what we talked about on Tuesday. We talked about on Tuesday how the Steelers looked like they had this plan and they were not executing it. 15 minutes later, they started executing it and they have done as much possible to go through with that plan. And that is to have a stellar defense and a good running game. They rebuilt the offensive line beautifully, in my opinion. They went out and got Miles Jack, which is a great acquisition. I mean, he's 26 years old, 2 years, $16 million. In my opinion, that's a steal for a guy like Miles Jack. They're doing exactly what they need to do to build around Trubisky. And it has made so much sense. And I think that they have, I mean, Mike Tomlin, Kevin Colbert, they think as realistically as any of us. So everybody else going out and saying, oh, you know, we need Bobby Wagner. We need Malik Willis. We need Kenny Pickett. You got to go get George Pickens. Mike Tomlin's sitting back and he's like, dude, I've had this plan for a year and a half now. And you could say whatever you want, but I'm going to do it my way. And my way is going to be real simple. It's going to work, but it's going to be real simple.
Yeah, I still think the rebuilding on the offensive line isn't completely done. I would still like them with an early pick in the 2022 draft to go and address maybe one or two positions more of that. And it seems like everybody in Pittsburgh at least acknowledges that you needed somebody in the quarterback room besides Mason and besides Dwayne, who actually just signed his tender this week as well. I feel like that was really swept underneath the rug, but it's kind of like a minor move. You needed somebody in that quarterback room to push the competition level. So, you know, you can at least be a competitive team heading into 2022. Now, obviously, I have my reservations about Trubisky. I don't think he's a good quarterback. Time will tell if the year off in Buffalo, sitting behind Josh Allen and, you know, spending it with the Bills, we'll see if that did anything for him. I really don't think it did leaps and bounds for him as a player. I just feel like he needed to get out of the situation in Chicago, excuse me. You know, before Tuesday and Wednesday, I would have told you that the Steelers offense was probably not in a good position to have Mitch Trubisky succeed. I do feel a little bit better, about the Steelers offense with the new additions on the offensive line, with them rumored to be interested in a guy like Pickens or even like Justin Ross. They were at Clemson's pro day. You know, just getting more help and going to, you know, attack the point of emphasis on the football, which is run Najee Harris whenever you can. And then just don't turn the ball over. Do not turn the ball over. Throw a couple passes whenever you need to, which, by the way, super off topic here. Juju hasn't signed anywhere. And nobody is talking about that.
I have heard through the grapevine of sources here that Juju Smith-Schuster has almost zero interest in other teams. Does that mean that interest won't come as the market goes down? No, but I just think that a lot of people think that his value in himself is a lot higher than what his actual value. I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster is your atypical wide receiver, and you can find him in a lot of places. When it comes to the pro day in Clemson, I just want to also toss out that, and I tweeted this earlier, Mike Tomlin has been to more Clemson pro days than trips to Giant Eagle. The dude goes to Clemson pro day every single year, sends the whole house there because Clemson pumps out more NFL players than pretty much anybody besides Alabama. So you'd be crazy not to go. So people make a big deal out of it. Like the Georgia thing, I was like, oh, okay. They sent the house to Georgia, to Clemson. I was just like, yeah, this is like a family vacation for Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert.
Did you see where they asked Mike Tomlin if he thought Jordan Davis would end up being a Steeler?
Yeah, and he said no.
He was like, yeah, he's going to be hugging Roger Goodell before he even drops to us. So,
yeah. Yeah, I did love that. I think Jordan Davis ends up a Steeler. I'm going to put that into the universe right now. If my first round pick, and it will stay like this until something proves me otherwise, my first pick for the Pittsburgh Steelers right now is Jordan Davis. Also, I would not be surprised if they moved up to get him, because I think that they love him that much. And I think he's that good. Jordan Davis is the guy.
Like, this needs a whole other episode to talk about it. We should probably save this for next week.
What do you got? Toss them out.
Dude, there's just so many different options that the Steelers could do in the first round now.
Oh,
because I feel like entering into free agency, we were really relegated to positions like corner, maybe wide receiver, offensive line, quarterback, maybe inside linebacker. And slowly but surely over the last 48 hours, I feel like the Steelers have done a really good job of taking pressure off themselves to where, you know, if Charles Cross isn't there at number 20, don't sweat about not taking off the tackle. If Willis or Pickett isn't there at number 20, don't sweat about not taking the quarterback. It really feels like they have kind of crossed their T's and dotted their I's to the point to where they can sit back and take the best player available. And, you know, like, good football players, no matter what position they play, will make you a better team. And I just feel like instead of being relegated to a certain position that they need to attack, an example, Artie Burns. Whenever Artie Burns was drafted, the Steelers needed the corner. They were so fixated on William Jackson that the Bengals jumped up in front of Pittsburgh to get him. The Steelers freak out and they end up panicking and taking Artie Burns. Almost a very similar situation with Terrell Edmunds. Whenever Terrell Edmunds was drafted, who still hasn't signed anywhere, by the way. Another interesting little tidbit. And by the way, did you know he blocked me on Twitter?
No, I didn't. But that's hilarious. Have you ever tweeted at Terrell Edmunds? Have you ever? Okay, that's a yes.
No, so no, I haven't tweeted at Terrell Edmunds.
You tweeted about him.
Yeah, I was like, why did he block me? And then I searched my at name and then Terrell Edmunds. And dude, it was like a laundry list of me just talking mad stuff about him and like how he was not a good safety. So I get
he probably just searched his name one day and it was just Donnie Droon, Donnie Droon, Donnie Droon, Donnie Droon, smack talk the whole way through.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You should have a long list of players that block you, if we're being honest. that's very true. With Jordan Davis, though, this is my thing about Jordan Davis, and I'm loving the comments right now here, people, because we're going to get to the offensive line, and whether we see Green or Dotson, we're also going to talk about Tyrann Mathieu. Don't worry. And Cleveland. How could we forget the Browns being the Browns? When it comes to Jordan Davis, the last time that there was a player this good that was just solidified to be great in the NFL, but teams were just like, the NFL draft is so packed that this guy's going to slide, was TJ Watt. The Pittsburgh Steelers knew right from the jump, TJ Watt's going to be a Steeler. And I think that that year, if they felt that somebody was going to take him before them, they would have moved up to get him. This year, I think, is the same thing. I think they have their eyes set on a guy like Jordan Davis, and they know Jordan Davis fixes all of our needs. He's a run stuffer. He can help Tyson Alualu. He could replace Tyson Alualu. He could replace Stephon Tuitt. If Stephon Tuitt doesn't play, he helps Isaiah Loudermilk. He helps Chris Wormley. He is the perfect fit for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Chances are he's going to slide to 20. If he doesn't slide to 20 and they got to move up real quick, I think they'll move up. I don't think they'll move up into the top 10, but I think that they would move up to 18 or 17 and give up a sixth round pick or something and move up a couple of spots. Because that's what the Steelers do. If you move up to grab Isaiah Loudermilk in the fifth round, you would move up three spots to go get Jordan Davis.
I don't think Jordan Davis is going to be there, bro. I really think that Tomlin hit the nail on the head when he said that Davis is going to be hugging Roger Goodell before the Steelers even get a chance to go on the clock. Now, that being said, you throw Jordan Davis in there in the front seven that consists of Stephon Tuitt, Cam Hayward, hopefully healthy Tyson Alualu, TJ Watt, steadily improving Alex Highsmith, who I feel like has improved year after year.
Yep.
A hopefully improved Devin Bush with Brian Flores coaching his you-know-what now. Miles Jacket in the middle right there. Good luck.
Good luck
running on that defense.
That's what I'm saying. He fixes everything. He fits so perfectly. I wish I could go back, and I have to go back because somebody tossed his name in the comments here months ago. And I was like, I don't even know who this guy is. It changed my whole life because at the time I didn't know what I was missing out on. And I have to thank whoever it was. One day I will go back and see that because they deserve all. And when they do draft him, I'm going to make sure that I know that who that was so that they get all the credit. I promise you that. I promise you that. All right. Let's get into some other stuff here. Let's answer quick questions before we move on to Mike Tomlin being an absolute legend. Offensive line. Do we think that Dotson or Green, who's in more trouble here? Who's looking to make a move? So I will say this. Mason Cole said today that his most natural position is center. James Daniels said, I'll play wherever. It don't really matter. I feel comfortable across the line. If I had to guess, right now, Kendrick Green is looking at the left guard position. Kevin Dotson is looking at the right guard position. And James Daniels and Mason Cole are going to, one of them's going to plug into center. The other one's going to plug into whatever guard isn't ready enough to play. And that could turn Kevin Dotson or Kendrick Green into a rotating piece on the inside for maybe their whole career. But I think that that's what happens with their offensive line there.
Yeah. So I think definitely the tackle positions are for sure locked down between, Dan Moore and Chukwuma Okorafor for the interior, obviously, is where it gets a little bit messy. I don't think you bring guys in like Daniels and Cole to sit them. Certainly there's going to be competition, but I think ultimately Daniels probably ends up a right guard. I do think Cole probably goes a center. And I think there's a competition between Kendrick Green and Kevin Dotson, that left guard. And, you know, whoever wins that competition is, you know, is probably going to be starting. And then the other's going to be on the outside looking in. But like, there is not heavy draft capital or even like financial capital invested in neither Green nor Dotson as opposed to Cole, as opposed to Daniel. So, you know, you also do have to factor that into the decision-making process as well. And I mean, look, like Mason Cole, pretty high regarded. We know that he can play at a decently high level. We know what James Daniels can do, and we know that he can play at a pretty decently high level. Dotson and Green have been very hit or miss throughout their time at Pittsburgh. And I know Green just, you know, completed his rookie year. And I know Dotson has a little bit more of, you know, tread on his tires, but this is the time. And you are going to see either one of those guys elevate and become the offensive lineman that you need them to be, or you're going to see the other guy kind of fall. And then you understand why the performances haven't been solid like they should have been over the course of the last three games that the Steelers have played.
Yeah, no doubt. And that makes perfect sense. And I could definitely see that happening. It's going to be those two. You know what I mean? Dotson and Green are the guys that are open for competition. Neither of them have proven anything in the NFL. If Kevin Dotson walked into training camp last season behind Rashad Coward. Say what you want, but that spoke a lot. It might have just been to like kick him in the butt, get him moving a little bit, but it was still a kick him in the butt, get him moving a little bit situation to the point where he needed to be kicked in the butt and moved a little bit. And I think that that happens again this year.
Well, I also really respected that decision too, because Kevin Dotson was coming off a very stellar rookie season and everybody was very convinced, me included, that he was going to be the guy to anchor Pittsburgh's line for the foreseeable future. He comes in, he said he wasn't overweight. He said he was in good shape. He tweeted a bunch of laughing emojis about it. He showed up and, you know, I think the coaching staff was not very impressed with how he looked. And kudos to Mike Tomlin and the rest of the offensive staff for saying, hey, bro, like we know how talented you are.
I don't know what happened. But I can't hear
you. Can you hear me?
Can't hear you. Anyways, I'll keep talking. Kudos to Mike Tomlin because that was the right move. I'll answer some questions here while Donnie is talking. Sorry, I didn't mean to call you Derek.
Can you hear me?
I could hear you. He's back.
Bro, so weird. I didn't touch anything at all, I promise. I'll just wrap it up really quick. I was so impressed that Tomlin was just like, hey, bro, like, we know you're good. You still got to show up and come to work. You have to earn your spot along the starting five.
Oh, yeah. That's what Tomlin is. And that's what that's what I mean. Like, I agree with you, but that's like, neither of these guys are in for anything because that's who he is.
Trevor hates you, bro.
Trevor hates me, man. Appreciate you. Deuces to you too. All right, let's answer some questions here. Do you think that they're done with free agency? No, and we're going to touch on this in a little while, but there's some safeties that are coming to Pittsburgh, at least one of them. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. Just going to toss this one out there. I'm not even going to say anything. But we'll get there. We'll get there. All right. The other point that I picked up, the biggest thing that I picked up in these opening press conferences for the Steelers' new signees, Mike Tomlin is an absolute legend. Absolute legend. Miles Jack spoke. It took him 5 seconds for everybody in the Zoom call to be like, okay, well, this was the coolest thing that we're going to hear all day. There's no need to really talk anymore. And that was that he got a phone call. So he was released by the Jaguars Tuesday morning. Surprise release. He said that he didn't even see it coming. Tuesday night, he had a couple of phone calls from a couple of teams expressing their interest. Wednesday morning, he gets a phone call from his agent that says, hey, Mike Tomlin wants to talk to you. He wants to give you a phone call. Mike Tomlin calls him Wednesday. Says, I have to read it. I have to read it word for word because it is amazing, actually. Once I got the phone call with Mike Tomlin and I got to speak with him, the first thing that he said was, we're trying to win a championship and we need that on defense. Once he said that, it was a no-brainer. It took Mike Tomlin one phone call, one reiteration of the Steelers' plan that has been the Steelers' plan for the last 15 years under Mike Tomlin, and that is we do not lose because we are the Pittsburgh Steelers. Miles Jack becomes a Pittsburgh Steeler. I mean, Mike Tomlin gets a lot of hate. Gets some hate from me from time to time. But at the end of the day, Mike Tomlin is an absolute legend, and I think it's moments like this where you have to sit back and just say, yep, he's a legend.
I think that puts into perspective, too, the amount of respect that he commands across the league. Because how many NFL head coaches right now can pick up the phone to a free agent that's going to be pretty highly regarded for his position, pick up the phone and say, hey, bro, run it.
And that's what I'm saying.
Like,
that's all he said.
Like, tell my agent to talk to literally anybody else. I'm coming right here right now.
Nobody. That's not going to happen with anybody. The Pittsburgh Steelers have the coolest coaching staff in the NFL. They have Mike Tomlin, Brian Flores, who's an absolute legend in the NFL, especially amongst the players, Terrell Austin, who, if you've talked to any Pittsburgh Steelers defender, loves that man more than they love their mother. Like, Terrell Austin is just that dude. They, a bunch of other guys. I mean, you could go, Carl Dunbar is a dude who Cam Hayward refers to as possibly the best coach in football that nobody talks to. Matt Canada is what he is. And then Art Rooney and Kevin Colbert and Omar Khan, who's an absolute legend in the making himself, which that's a whole other conversation. But this free agency class is the reason that the Pittsburgh Steelers GM candidates is a whole ton of scouts and Omar Khan. Because this dude is working magic every time he talks to anybody at all when it comes to a contract. They have the coolest organization in football, all headed by Mike Tomlin. And I get, like, people give that to Rooney, and they say, this is what the Rooney family builds. And I won't take anything away from the Rooney family, but Mike Tomlin builds this culture. And he's got the best culture in football. And at times like this, when you really need to go out and make some moves, he realized how bad he screwed up last year. He needed to come back this year and make up for all of it. And he just said, hey, I'm Mike Tomlin. I can do whatever the hell I want to do. I can talk to anybody, and I can make them fall in love with me. And he did. Beautiful.
I certainly think that Tomlin adds to the whole culture thing. I do think the Steelers, without Tomlin, would be a well-respected and well-regarded franchise just because
of the
historical prowess. But Tomlin, and it's so funny because, like, there's always a knock on them about them being and going about things is like the Steelers way, right? You know, like they wouldn't sign X player because it's not the Steelers way. I think Tomlin, since he arrived here in 2007, has kind of helped bring like a different perspective and like a fresher pair of eyes onto like how you are supposed to do things here in the NFL. And it's not a coincidence that he's the second highest win percentage for head coaches since arriving to the league in 2007. Only behind Bill Belichick, who may or may not have created a dynasty in the world of professional football. So definitely tough setting right there. You mentioned contracts, so, and I do want to get into this. Miles Jack's contract, 2 years, $16 million, $6.5 million guaranteed. Did you see the two different cap hits between 2022 and 2023?
For who now?
Miles Jack.
Yep. Yeah. It's I want to say $6 million in 2022
will be $4.75 million.
Very
good deal. Very Amazing. Good deal for him. 2023 though, jumps up a lot. $11.25 million will be the cap charge on him. Overall, across that 2 year spread, obviously $8 million on an annual basis is pretty solid. That jump next year though, I know the salary cap is going to be a very heavy topic of conversation, rightfully so, because it is expected to skyrocket. $11.25 million is a lot. I don't want to say it's a lot. It's a very steep jump from the original figure that you were paying him. Do you think he's got to perform really, really well in order to come back in 2023?
No, I honestly don't. Because if he plays very well and he's part of the Steelers' long-term plan, they'll just extend him and then they'll restructure that money to where it's less of a cap hit. You know what I mean? I think that this year is I don't even want to say approve it, but just make sure he works, you know, because even if you are young and super promising, you don't always work in the situation that you're put in after you become a free agent. I think this is a see if he works out. Chances are he's going to. And then instead of signing him for a 6 year deal and having a major cap hit the whole way through, it's a 2 year deal where if we add more years next season, we can push that cap number down and it could remain the same. Plus, exactly what Charlie is saying. $11 million for a dude like Miles Jack, in my opinion, steal. An 100%. Absolute steal. The dude could turn out to be amazing. Next season, you don't have to worry about Tyson Alualu's contract. You don't have to worry about Stefan Tuitt's contract. There are names. TJ Watt is taking his first big hit to the salary cap this year. I get that Minka is going to be a name that takes a big hit next year. Deontay Johnson probably as well, but it's gonna work out. You know, they put themselves in a situation to not have to add void years and worry about dumb things, but figure it out down the road and not too far down the road. You know what I mean? I don't think it's a bad idea. Omar Khan's a genius.
I do want to point out too, I do think the Steelers have done a very good job of adding muscle to the roster while also being able to like trim fat at the same time. I know on the show the last couple of weeks, we talked about Joe Schober and the possibility of him remaining on the roster throughout the rest of the season, including playing this year in 2022. And that gave the Steelers a little bit of flexibility to, you know, do what they needed to do, whether or not that was adding another inside linebacker, entirely up to them. But with a guy like Miles Jack coming to Pittsburgh, that's a no-brainer. So they cut Schober and then they cut Zach Banner as well, who, I mean, he got paid millions of dollars to only play a couple snaps starting along the offensive line. Great guy, but I mean, those two guys probably in the grand scheme of things needed to go. And so, I mean, when you weigh the want to have a guy like Miles Jack compared to having guys like Schober and Banner, I mean, it's really a no-brainer, right?
It is a no-brainer. It all worked out. Like, the Steelers utilized this season, and it stinks because it's Ben Roethlisberger's postseason. But if this was last year, the Pittsburgh Steelers are in a position to go win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, they're doing it, you know? Like, they did everything they need to be. And, you know, COVID hit that, and the salary cap decrease hit that, and it's not their fault, you know? It was bad timing. Unfortunately, Ben turned 100 years old physically 1 year too early. But this all worked out. And if Mitchell Trubisky's what the Steelers hope he is, this worked out so, so beautifully. I do want to say this before we move on here. I would not rule out Zach Banner returning to the Pittsburgh Steelers on a very, very cheap deal, like a vet minimum. He's been in the league, or he was with the Steelers for 4 years, so he's eligible for a vet minimum. And The Steelers don't have a backup tackle outside of Joe Haig. So why not just bring him back, toss him in there, see if he works out. You know, if Zach Banner is somebody who could still play football, you keep him around. If he's not, you just cut him. At least give him another opportunity. Because I don't know if he lands somewhere else. And I agree. I love Zach Banner, dude. He's such – for everybody who doesn't know, the first time I ever walked into a Steelers locker room was 4 years ago now. And the first person to ever say anything to me was Zach Banner. I walked in, he whispered to the dude next to him, which I'm pretty sure was Ramon Foster, and he was like, yo, new guy. And he looks at me, and he's like, yo, bro, you dropped your pocket. And I looked right down. And from that moment on, I was just like, this is what it is, man. This is the pros. We've made it big. So shout out to him. He's been a great dude ever since. But I could see him returning on a very, very cheap deal here. Moving on, before we get into the Cleveland Browns Baker drama, which is a beautiful time, let's talk about some free agency moves that could still happen for the Pittsburgh Steelers. More specifically, there is one giant gaping hole, and it's the safety position. And the person that makes the most sense is named Tyrann Mathieu. And for a long time, I was getting text messages. I was getting messages on Twitter. I was talking to people, and everybody was talking about how Tyrann Mathieu needs to come to the Pittsburgh Steelers, how it makes so much sense. And for so long, I thought that's just not going to happen. I'm sitting here today, and I will be the first person to admit that I believe it could and possibly will, maybe even probably will, happen maybe by the end of the week.
I'm going to be real. I think if the Honey Badger were to come to Pittsburgh, I think that's immediately the best safety duo in the NFL. Like, bar none, no questions. Right? Forget about any other argument. I think after watching Terrell Edmunds play football in a Pittsburgh Steelers uniform for the last couple of years, anything would have been like an upgrade in comparison to his like coverage skills.
This is why you're blocked.
But having the Honey Badger back there would do so much more for Minka. Oh, it would open up so many more things for Terrell Austin to do with Steelers defense. It would just like, and like he's good in coverage. He's good in run support. Like, bro, like he is almost everything that you need that extra safety right beside Minka to be.
He's perfect. He is. So Minka Fitzpatrick is, in my opinion, the best safety in football. And that's arguable. And I'll admit that that's arguable. But in my opinion, he's the best safety in football. The problem with Minka Fitzpatrick is when you give him way too many things to do, he tries to do everything and he's not capable of doing everything. Yep. You put a guy like Tyrann Mathieu next to Minka Fitzpatrick. Minka Fitzpatrick doesn't have to do everything. He could just be Minka Fitzpatrick, which is an absolute playmaker. You don't have to worry about where Terrell Edmunds was. And they could say whatever they wanted about how they have so much chemistry and they just read off of each other and it is what it is. If Terrell Edmunds is dropping deep, Minka Fitzpatrick's worrying about him. Exactly. Yep. Like Minka knows, like, I have to go at least somewhat cover that position. You get a guy like Tyrann Mathieu, he could play all over the field. And just like John points out here, he could also play nickel, which is beautiful because the Pittsburgh Steelers don't have a true nickel right now outside of Cam Sutton. And
Cam Sutton's gonna work all over. I still don't love Cam in the nickel anyway.
That's what I'm saying. Tyrann Mathieu fills every single hole that the Pittsburgh Steelers have wanted to fill for years now. And he does it on – it's not like, we have to take a risk and he has to develop to the defense, which goes all the way back to the Pittsburgh Steelers' plan for Mitchell Trubisky. This defense is not looking for a guy that needs 2 years to develop. They're looking for a guy that's ready to win a Super Bowl right now. And Tyrann Mathieu, nobody seems to remember, was a Pro Bowler in 2021. So, I don't know. Makes too much sense, my friend. Too much sense. Now, let me ask this. His market value on Spotrac is 3 years, $44.59 million, $14.8 million a year. That being said, That being said, he has never signed a major contract, at least not that I know of. He signed 3 years, $42 million with the Chiefs, which is big, I guess, but like it's less than what they're asking right now. He signed a 1 year, $7 million before that. And then he signed the major one with Arizona that didn't really, it like worked out for a while. And then for some reason he was gone. Do you think that he goes for them? I don't even want to say takes a discount, because if you're Tyrann Mathieu and the Pittsburgh Steelers are like, hey, we'll pay you $8 million a season, but you know, the Kansas City Chiefs are like, we'll pay you 15. You're going to go play for the Chiefs. You know, the Steelers aren't 100%. A position. Yeah. The Steelers.
Although aren't a it was, like it was really interesting because like before he actually hit free agency, it really appeared, at least on the social media channels, to where like that relationship was like fractured, but like between like Tyrann and like the Chiefs, I don't even want to say the organization, but just like the fans, like Tyrann and like Chiefs Kingdom did not get along great for whatever reason. So I really don't think, unless Tyrann has nowhere else to go, literally nowhere else to go and play football in the league, I really don't think he would go back to KC.
No, he wouldn't go back to KC. And that's what I mean. Like, I don't think Kansas City is a bad example, but just like another team like that. Now, if he has offers, he's going to take a bigger offer. But I just think that if the Pittsburgh Steelers are like, hey, here's $11 million over the next three seasons, and you're Tyrann Mathieu, and you're thinking, this is a team that's ready. It's a quarterback away from being ready. But Mitchell Trubisky has taken teams to the playoffs before, a lot worse teams than the Pittsburgh Steelers have right now. I think that if I'm Tyrann Mathieu, I'm thinking, sounds good to me, dude. Like, sounds good to me. How much do you think Minkah Fitzpatrick plays a role into this? How much do you think that playing next to a guy like Minkah plays a role? I mean, you got to remember, Mathieu was halfway through the season last year, or maybe the year before that, when he like, there was pictures of him like rolling his eyes at the Chiefs' other safety for making a terrible play on the field. So you get a guy like Minkah, you don't ever got to worry about that.
No, undoubtedly. And I think the prospect of playing with a guy like Minkah in an organization like Pittsburgh for a very, what looks to be competitive team heading into the next season, it's got to be there. I just think it's all going to boil down to what Tyrann Mathieu wants financially. And, you know, I really cannot blame him if he were to want to go and try to chase the bag again, because this is probably the last time he's going to look at significant money, especially considering his age and the position that he plays. So if he were to choose the Steelers other than for, you know, any reason besides the money, sure. I don't think the Steelers have the capital to go out and get him right now whenever it comes to the salary cap. So if Tyrann comes to Pittsburgh, it's 1,000% because he's going to want to potentially contend for a championship and then potentially end his career in Pittsburgh and play next to a guy like Minkah.
I believe so too. And I think he's got years. This is a good one. He is a free safety and not a strong safety, and I will be the first person to admit that. That being said, when you have great safeties, I just believe that they work off of each other. It's not necessarily a strong, especially in the Steelers system. Like a guy like Mathieu could just play across the field, whereas in Minkah could play the deep ball. And I get that Tyrann Mathieu is a guy that could also play the deep ball and be that guy, but he could adjust. He's proven that he could adjust. He's proven that he's that physical. I get where you're coming from and I get the point. I think that they mesh, good safeties mesh. And that's hard to put into words, but good safeties mesh.
Look, I get it. And, but you have to remember, whenever the Steelers defense is functioning best, Mink is playing that high safety role. He's playing center fielder. And then the other safety, which has been Terrell Edmonds the last few years, has been around the line of scrimmage, making plays right around, you know, the front seven, right near where the ball is going to be for most of the time. Tyrann Mathieu can fulfill that role. Like, the conflicts between Minkah and Mathieu on the field together, I think would be greatly exaggerated. And I do understand the points to where Mathieu has played almost a similar role to Minkah in previous years. Mm-hmm. I do understand that. But like you said, man, like you get the opportunity to get two great safeties together, you're going to find a way. You are going to find a way to make it work. And like I said previously, if you want to run the same kind of concept that you did on the defensive side of the ball, where you had Terrell Edmonds near the box and then Minka playing deep safety, playing that center fielder role, I think Tyron's more than capable of doing what Terrell Edmonds did at a higher level.
Yeah, I agree. I think that he has to adjust and... Oh, okay.
But that's what I'm saying. We're not throwing them together just because they're big names.
No. I believe that Tyrann Mathieu has the skill set to adjust to being a strong safety. I get the whole throwing them together because they're big names and things. And that is part of my argument, is I do believe great safeties just play well together. But I think Tyrann Mathieu plays such a physical role that he could play either safety spot and have almost no issue doing it. I just do. I think that it just, in the Steelers defense with the ability, like Minka Fitzpatrick, they tried to make Minka Fitzpatrick Troy Polamalu this season. Didn't really work out. Yep. But the Steelers want their safeties to do a lot more than what a typical safety does. Tyrann Mathieu would do a lot more in Pittsburgh than he did in Kansas City. Minka Fitzpatrick does a lot more in Pittsburgh than he would do anywhere else. I just think that that's how their safeties play. And that's how they've always played. They've always only had one guy playing that role, and it was Troy Polamalu for a long, long time. Why Ryan Clark, played a traditional safety, his traditional safety role. But with these two guys, I think that both of them are talented enough to play across the field, and that if they adjusted to only playing that certain role, but they both played extended roles in their specific areas, if this is making any sense, it would work. But again, like, I get everybody's argument, but that's what I'm saying.
1,000% get it. But look, the reason why everybody liked Edmonds and Fitzpatrick together was because they felt like Edmonds and Fitzpatrick complemented each other very well. Minka was the ball hawk, and then Terrell Edmonds was the guy who stayed near the line of scrimmage and was able to bring down defenders in the running game and then kind of patrol the field horizontally right around that 10 to 15 yard mark. Tyrann Mathieu can do that. Tyrann Mathieu is not the ball hawk that Minka is. Minka is not the tackler that Tyrann Mathieu is. I get it, but also at the same time, like, it's not like they are the clones of each other. You feel?
Yeah. Stubborn has an attitude. If this is true,
That is also
that could be an odd, that could be an issue
that everybody is kind of overlooking. Tyrann Mathieu, since he has came into the league, and I don't know if you know his whole backstory on, you know, how he came to the league.
He
went through a lot of stuff at college at LSU. Cardinals took a chance on him. He developed and bloomed into this wonderful safety. He's surely a different person now than his college days, but still kind of has that, I think ego is the right word, to kind of put on him. So that's the thing that not a whole lot of people are talking about. How would that mesh with the Steelers? I would be more concerned about that clashing in the Steelers locker room as compared to his actual play style with Minka.
Yeah, my thought on all those guys is the same. Mike Tomlin is Mike Tomlin. And he does, I mean, if you kept Antonio Brown under the table for as long as you kept Antonio Brown under the table, everything's going to be okay. Good points here. And before we move on, I want everybody's opinions to be tossed out there. Because now let's answer this one. Before we move on to the Baker news, which we'll end with, boundary corners, potential draft picks. I do believe that they add a corner in the draft. I also do believe that Levi Wallace and Akella Witherspoon right now are the starting cornerbacks on the outside. I take that back. Cam Sutton's going to start on the outside, but he's going to play a lot of inside slot corner. And I think that Akello and Levi Wallace will move to the outside. That being said, this draft class is way, way too stacked to not draft a corner. If not the first, second, third round, somewhere in the draft, to just say we have somebody. Because right now, think about it. The Pittsburgh Steelers have good corners, but they have three good corners in Arthur Millett, and then it's a pretty significant drop-off. you add somebody else in that mix, and at least you have some depth, because right now you don't have much depth unless you're thinking Levi Wallace is the alternative piece to swap back and forth on the outside. I think that it's almost a guarantee that at some point they draft a corner.
I think the biggest takeaway from whenever we were in Indianapolis for the combine, just talking to GMs, talking to head coaches, talking to basically everybody that we got the opportunity to speak to, was that, one, it's a deep corner class, like you had already alluded to. Number two, corners are like edge rushers, man. You can never have enough of them, especially with how the NFL is trending, especially with how much teams love to pass the ball, especially if you plan to make a deep playoff run and you run into the quarterbacks like Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, you know, guys like that, Russell Wilson now in Denver. You are going to need depth at the cornerback position, especially with an added regular season game to make it 17 games across the board. You know, it's never a bad thing to have depth. And worst comes to worst, you have very good corner talent for very cheap compared to what other top guys are going to get on the market.
Yeah. I mean, cornerbacks are expensive from time to time. You get a guy like Levi Wallace who isn't that expensive, but Akella Witherspoon went 2 years, $8 million. That's a big cap hit every season. You get a corner fresh off the market, you could turn him into a stud. Most cornerbacks are that turn into stars very soon, are best those first couple of years in. Then they turn into a Jalen Ramsey. But at that point, they're too expensive for the Pittsburgh Steelers to even think about, because that's not who the Pittsburgh Steelers are. So it's their best idea, I should say, to go after a rookie cornerback, try to develop him. The best case scenario for the Pittsburgh Steelers when it comes to a corner, they turn into Cam Sutton. They have a very productive but low-key first couple of years. They sign that next contract for pretty cheap. They turn into the starter. Best case scenario, they turn into a very, very good starter. But that's the best case scenario for the Pittsburgh Steelers when it comes to any cornerback situation, because they're not going to go out and make a splash play at corner. Levi Wallace is as splash as they get when it comes to the outside. Run through Mike Tomlin's list of cornerbacks that he has signed in free agency. They include Ross Coughlin. They include
Cockrell.
What did I say?
Steven Nelson.
Joe Hayden, which you could say what you want. Joe Hayden was a big one, but that was a very big surprise. And now Levi Wallace and Akella Witherspoon, but that was a trade for a fifth round pick. When we talked to Jose the day that he was traded, it sounded like Akella Witherspoon was pretty bad at football. Yeah. Cordell Patterson. This has been a name that's been brought up a couple of times. I did think that he fits in what the Pittsburgh Steelers are looking for in that new dynamic, try to figure it all out offense that Matt Canada wants to run. He's kind of old, though. I believe he's 31 years old. Do you think that he's an option for the Pittsburgh Steelers? I'm not asking if he's gonna. Is he an option?
And I think if Canada really ran that kind of like creative offense that he's thrived under the last couple of years, he would definitely be worth it, especially if the Steelers didn't have a guy like Najee. I just think that so many chess pieces are already in place for what the Steelers want to do on offense. And while he would be a great addition to the Steelers, I don't think he would be utilized the way he wants here.
No. I don't think that he's going to be utilized the way he was utilized in Atlanta anywhere in the NFL, because the offenses are teams as a whole are a lot better than the Atlanta Falcons offense last season. But that being said, he does add a lot of potential. I could see that if the Steelers don't re-sign Ray-Ray McCloud and they don't make any moves at wide receiver over the next week, and Cordell Patterson's just sitting around, maybe Juju's already off the board somewhere, I could see here's a veteran to come in and just be a special teamer and probably play some offense. But I don't think Cordell Patterson has the expectations to go in and be a star anywhere like he was last year. I think that if he's there in a week, maybe. Big maybe.
I wouldn't be opposed to it.
No, gosh, no.
I don't think him personally, you know, I don't think he would like how the Steelers would like to run him.
Yeah. He'd fit everywhere, but no, he wouldn't be a superstar. But again, I don't think Cordell Patterson's thinking that he wants to be a superstar. He does want to be a superstar, but I don't think that he's thinking he's going to be a superstar anywhere. You know what I mean? He's gone his whole NFL career being a nobody, and then he finally found a home in Atlanta, made the most of it, and here we are. So maybe, but again, I would say next Tuesday, if he's still on the board and that question comes up, it's a much stronger possibly than it is right now. I would still say Juju's the best bet to come back as the Steelers' third wide receiver, but I still don't think that that happens until next week. I think Juju's going to push out the week and see if anybody makes an offer on him for any significant money. When that doesn't happen, the Steelers will call next week and say, hey, man, here's a three-year deal, $4 million a year. Come play for us. $5 million a year.
It's not going to be that low.
It could be that low. It could be that low. It could be that low. $8 million this year. And this is nothing against Juju Smith-Schuster, but $8 million this year is a much better deal. Like, he was worth so much more last offseason than he is this offseason. And $8 million is what he peaked at last year. I get that the salary cap is up, but the options are also a lot better. There's a billion wide receivers in the NFL draft. I mean, dude, for a week and a half, Christian Watson was like the next superstar of the NFL. He has faded into nothing again. George Pickens at one point was considered like a third round pick. Now people are like, oh, maybe the Steelers take him at 20. You know, there's so many wide receivers in this draft that at some point, everybody's just going to stop talking about Juju Smith-Schuster. His value's low, dude. A lot lower than we expect. I'm telling you. I have a feeling that when he does sign, it's either going to be really surprising for how high it is, or he's going to end up back in Pittsburgh for pretty much nothing. We'll see. All right, Donnie, before we get out of here, we got something really good to talk about.
We do.
The Browns, man, did Chase Claypool say it? Did Juju Smith-Schuster say it?
Oh, Juju said it.
The Browns is the Browns, my friend. Quote, unquote, Juju Smith-Schuster. Baker Mayfield released a 400-page essay about the Cleveland Browns. Oh, back it up. This is the guy right here. Yep. Sky Moore is keep the talking. Dude. Keep talking. That's the dude. Don't stop. Yeah. The dude. Well, keep that name under. Shh. Don't be telling people that. Sky Moore, man. When he ends up in Pittsburgh, he'd be like, I called it. But we don't want anybody else to know this. Baker Mayfield. The Browns is the Browns. Released what looked like a end of the year final exam essay on why he was upset that the Cleveland Browns went and met with Deshaun Watson to try to convince him to allow them to trade for him. Now, the Cleveland Browns have been removed from the Deshaun Watson race. He said, nah, I'm good, bro. And for good reason. Meanwhile, the Cleveland Browns have totally destroyed their relationship with their former first overall pick quarterback, which you could say whatever you want about him. He had one more year on his deal, and he is the best option for the Cleveland Browns after Deshaun Watson told them to go kick some rocks. Now he has requested a trade because not only is Baker Regime or whatever his middle name is, Mayfield.
Reagan
Mayfield, upset and wants out. But the Cleveland Browns are being the Cleveland Browns, and they might be stuck with Case Keenum as their starting quarterback. Donnie, there's no questions. How are you feeling? You happy? This made me happy.
We were worried. Because for a couple
of years, we were worried.
The Browns were looking really strong. They put together quite the front office. They were making very sound moves on the football field. That I think the team that we saw before Baker and that front office got there to where they're at now are two totally different teams. And say what you want, you know, people call them, you know, paper champions of the offseason the last couple of years. They've put together a pretty strong roster. And for them to go and do this, to go behind Baker Mayfield's back, and like Baker Mayfield is not a great NFL quarterback, but he is the guy, like probably the most successful quarterback in the last 30, 40 years to come in Cleveland. To do that to him, to sabotage that relationship for a guy who told you no. You were rolling the dice on Deshaun wanting to come to Cleveland. Deshaun can come to Cleveland. Baker finds out that you went after a quarterback without even telling him.
They did tell his agent at the combine that they would pursue top end quarterbacks.
Apparently they didn't tell him about Deshaun though.
Deshaun's name never came up. No.
Now Baker wants a trade. And did you see the report where DeBrown said they will not satisfy his trade request and they're going to keep him there?
So that's the best part of this is the Cleveland Browns are now going to walk into 2022 with Baker Mayfield as their starting quarterback who wants absolutely nothing to do with them. So what is he doing? What you have Baker Mayfield who's playing for a contract, but at the same time wants to not be here anymore. Doesn't want the Cleveland Browns to win. Like if you're Baker Mayfield, you're not trying to win a Super Bowl with the Cleveland Browns. You want to win a Super Bowl with your next team, but you want to get paid like a Super Bowl champion with your next team. Talk about an absolutely terrible situation to be in.
Dumpster fire.
Dumpster. I feel bad for Baker Mayfield. Like there are a few times that I feel bad for Baker Mayfield, but right now I'm looking at this going, dude, your best bet might be to just sit out the season. Because at least then you could go into next offseason, sign a one-year prove-it deal with somebody, go ball out. No,
because if he sat out the year, it wouldn't accrue on his contract. And if he sat out held out, the CBA is structured to where players would be heavily fined for them missing training camp, them missing practices, them missing regular season games. Baker Mayfield would pay quite the amount of money for sitting out next year. Like, it is not in his best interest to do that.
Like, what about, like, a Deshaun Watson situation where he's there but he ain't doing nothing?
The Texans purposely benched Deshaun Watson, made him inactive every week while paying him $30 million across the board last year. Like that in itself was a very, very dumb like move. And like, I get it. Like there was a whole lot of stuff going on with him. And like, he couldn't really like throw that guy out to the wolves every week, but you were paying that man $30 million to sit on the bench. And that was your decision. It was not him who said, "Hey, sit me out. I'm going through a lot of stuff right now." No, it was an organizational decision to sit that man. It's still kind of hilarious.
The
way to win about it.
So what do you do? If you're Baker Mayfield, what do you do?
That's why this situation is so like perplexing. You really can't do anything. Like your best bet is to try to force a trade out. Maybe he could pull up what Odell's dad did and just put together a bunch of like YouTube clips on like wherever.
This is why Kevin Stefanski stinks. This is a 3-minute clip of why Kevin... Is this real, Hunch? Is this real? Did we just miss this? Did Baker Mayfield or did Deshaun Watson just go?
I haven't seen
anything. Don't be scared. This is two episodes in a row.
There was a guy on Twitter who reported that the deal would be done tonight to send Deshaun to Atlanta, but it wasn't a very reputable person. So
you got me, Hunch. This is two episodes in a row that we've been fooled by the Deshaun Watson news. Bamboozled by the Deshaun Watson news. But you don't have options. And I like, that's what I mean. I think another name in this that you just have to feel absolutely terrible for is Amari Cooper. Like, could you imagine a week ago you were sitting pretty? You were the Dallas Cowboys wide receiver. You're getting paid so much money to go play football with a good quarterback, good offensive scheme, good running back, good teammates. Now you're in Cleveland with Baker Mayfield, who doesn't want to be there. Case Keenum might be your starting quarterback. And Jarvis Landry's gone. You are literally the offense outside of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. It's bad, man. It's bad. When was the last time the Browns were this Brownsy?
Like the year before they got Baker, where they won one game.
That's what I mean, though. Like, They were doing so well. It was low. They've been low time and time again. What do you do? Okay, so let's flip the sides here. If you're the Cleveland Browns, do you just push it out with Baker this year and then move on? And like, do you want to win with Baker?
Like all the other quarterbacks that you could have gone and like grabbed, they're basically off the board. They're all kind of.
Jameis Winston's gone. Still there. You could hate Jameis Winston, but that's not what I mean. That's not what I mean. I'm not talking about this season. What do they do? What, like, if you're the Browns, you don't want to win because you don't want to go sign a quarterback next offseason. You want to draft a quarterback. You want to draft the next better Baker Mayfield. You want to go find your own Deshaun Watson, right? So you don't want to win, but at the same time, if you're not going to trade Baker Mayfield, you're trying to win, right? So what is the goal here if you're the Cleveland Browns?
I think they tried to be pretty sneaky with them going and trying to get Deshaun Watson because, like, think about it like this. Deshaun realistically was probably never going to Cleveland. And, I mean, let's say, like, the Browns were just like, hey, like, you want to come to Cleveland? And Deshaun's like, no. And, like, that does not see the light of, like, public information. Yes. And, like that info doesn't hit, like, the public. Everything's fine right now. Like,
no,
like,
yeah.
Everything is, like, A-okay right now. Like, Baker feeling great about himself. Just got Amari Cooper. Like, you know, things are looking on the up and up for Cleveland's offense next year. The report that came out where the Browns said they wanted an adult at quarterback.
What? I didn't hear this.
I think that was the dagger. Yep.
There was, yep. What is, they wanted an adult?
Within the Browns organization who said that they wanted a, quote, adult at quarterback.
What? Look it up. What?
Look it up.
An adult at, so, look it, I'm not going to be the guy. I'm not going to say my thoughts. I'm just going to say real simply, Deshaun Watson is your adult quarterback?
Adultery, yeah.
The Browns is the Browns, my friend, and they always will be. Let's answer some questions before we head out here. We got a good one here from Monsoon Tevin. Good name. Marlon Mack, Matt Leonidas, Fletcher Cox, Anthony Barr. There's a couple things in here about Fletcher Cox being an option for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Real quick, I just want to toss this out. I have heard very quickly that Fletcher Cox is going to re-sign with the Eagles, and then I did a little digging, and I heard that Fletcher Cox is probably going to sign back with the Philadelphia Eagles. That being said, let's act like he's not going to right now. Do you like Fletcher Cox for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Fire it up. Yeah, Fletcher Cox has been wrecking the NFC East for a very long time. And like, I get the cap charge he would come with probably wouldn't be super team friendly. I get he's a little bit up there in age right now. But man, like Fletcher Cox, like just in terms of like getting another game wrecker in that front seven, especially like in the interior, right on the nose of the football, or maybe even a little bit off it, depending on what kind of like package you're going to run. Yeah, I would be all for it. But obviously the price tag comes into consideration. And then like you had already said, yeah, he's probably going to re-sign with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, I like Fletcher Cox, and I think he's a great player, and I think he'd be a perfect addition to the Steelers. They've also tried to trade for him in the past. At least that's what reports have said. I just don't see the money and the age and the whole situation working out. They took a risk on Tyson Alualu. It worked out very well. And Fletcher Cox is a lot healthier than Tyson has been, but it's still an age thing. Whereas you don't want to keep going up when you're investing so much in the down. Like the Pittsburgh Steelers have put a lot of money into younger guys right now because they're looking at this as an opportunity to rebuild for the future and succeed right now. I just don't think that Fletcher Cox fits that mold. That being said, if it happened, it would not surprise me at all, not even in the slightest. Marlon Mack was a name that was on my top 10 free agents for the Pittsburgh Steelers to sign, and I think he still is. He's not going to be expensive at all because of last season. He needs a job. He's looking for more of a role than he had in Indy. The Pittsburgh Steelers are banking on Benny Snell Jr. to do anything right now. I just think that he's a good number two to sit behind Najee Harris and be a reliable backup for right now. Plus, he's going to be very, very cheap. And he's like 26 years old.
I think if Marlon is what the Steelers want Benny to be, like as funny as that sounds.
Yeah, yeah, but exactly it.
Yeah. So I think going out and getting a guy like Marlon probably benefit the Steelers a lot, just because like you cannot continue to run Najee like into the ground, if especially if you want Najee to play here for a decent amount of time. And like even so, like, you know, the two back system is definitely the way to go in the NFL nowadays. So I feel like Marlon Mack would complement Najee Harris fairly well, and I think he would be utilized greatly here.
Cole Beasley's come up a couple of times in the comments. What about Cole Beasley?
Hot sauce? Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind it. Like what like Ryan Switzer should have been. Yeah, I'll take him.
He's not a bad move.
No, he's not. The Steelers need somebody besides Deontay who can like separate at the line of scrimmage. And, you know, especially in between that like 5 to 10 yard area, I think Cole Beasley would be a perfect fit for that.
Yeah, he would be. It all comes down to if he wants to be in Pittsburgh, the fit in Pittsburgh. You know, Mike Tomlin and him might have to have a conversation, because I feel like Cole Beasley is a very outspoken type of dude, and the Pittsburgh Steelers aren't really into their very outspoken types of dudes. I think that would be the only big issue here. But besides that, I think, like you said, Cole Beasley fits the mold very well. Stephon Gilmore has also come in to play a couple of times here. Stephon Gilmore is the perfect signing for 32 teams. That is what it is. He's still stud, and he's not going to stop being a stud anytime soon. The Pittsburgh Steelers are not going to go hand a cornerback a boatload of money when they just went and signed Levi Wallace and re-signed Akello Witherspoon. Good thoughts.
Bro, I didn't even think about this. the connection between Money Mitch and hot sauce.
Dude, oh, and Cole Beasley. That's what I'm saying. There it is.
Imagine the t-shirts.
Imagine the Money Mitch to... Shh. That's two secrets that we've given away in this podcast, and we're not about that life. You're not wrong. Donnie's over here just falling asleep as we're talking, but that's okay.
Look, I tried using the nice microphone you sent me. All right.
Yeah.
I plugged it in. Just took it out the box. All right. Don't yell at me. I'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. Anyways, that's all for us today. Thank you so much for jumping on to another episode of All Steelers Talk. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com/AllSteelersTalk. Use our promo code at manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping. There's a bunch of dope stuff. We're about to get some hair care products. Let's go. Like this page. Be a friend. Tell a friend to come subscribe to us. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace.